This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2025, held at United Christian School in Napanee, Indiana, on February 28 and March 1, 2025.
Well, good afternoon. They say you should not start out with a disclaimer. But I feel the need for at least somewhat of a disclaimer. I don't have all the answers. I'll just be right up front with you on that. And each situation can be different when you're working with a teacher that is struggling. There's a lot of different personalities, a lot of different ways we react to relationships, to the world around us, to different situations as they come along. Every human has a struggle at times. We all have struggles. None of us have answers for everything, for every situation. We're humans. We're in a fallen world, as was brought out. So, you have a teacher. Things start out well in school. And the first semester is fine, but come January, morale in the classroom starts to deteriorate. Grades start to decline. There's a lack of respect. What's happening? Do you know? Or you have a teacher that is boarding in your community from another community far away, and things are going fine for a while, but they went home for the 2-week Christmas break, and come January, they have a lot of sick days. They have to be off school for stomach flus. Or you sense that there's some emotional duress. What's happening? What's going on? Do you know? These struggles can be somewhat intertwined. And a lot of struggles that a teacher experiences can be broken down into three different categories: emotional, relational, or academic. And we're going to look at those three areas as we go through the talk here. And I'm going to be okay with you interacting, because I personally don't like to just lecture. So if you have questions, or I'll give some opportunity maybe later on to actually have some discussion. And as if you looked at your bulletin for tonight, there will be a roundtable on this as well. So you'll have opportunity to, if you think of questions after the fact, we can talk some more about it tonight. So there's going to be some similarities in these different problems that we face. And we're going to look at some symptoms, some of the causes, and what our solutions could be, or what should be. The one thing I definitely don't want you guys to do is to go home with this list and start microanalyzing your teachers. Sometimes we tend to look at somebody like, oh, we know what's wrong with them. This is what you got to do. We got to figure it out. Don't do that. Everyone has a bad day every once in a while, including you as a board or administrator. Don't forget that. And the key aspect of some of this is, and I guess I could say it this way, and then I'll probably reemphasize this later on as I go. But there's three main things that you as boards need to understand or need to remember in working with your teachers. Number one is take time. Take time. Number two is have a good relationship with your teachers. And number three, have good communication, open communication. If there's nothing else you take home from my talk today, take those three things home. Because those three things will go a long way in having a unified school, a proper view of your teachers, and what they give to your school and what you expect from them at school. Learn to listen. God gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. And trust me, I'm still learning that one myself. Because, fortunately, not too many of you know me very well. And I can say what I want to here, but I'm a fixer. And there's times my wife has to tell me, I don't want you to fix this, I just want you to listen. And probably some of you other men can agree with that as well. So, learn to listen. We need to ask ourselves as a school board, what do we want from this situation? What are we wanting? But we also got to remember that we're dealing with people, other people that have things that they want from this situation, our teachers. What do they want? And we need to learn to work together with Christian courtesy to establish a end result that's for the good of everyone. Don't make snap judgments and run with it. That's important to remember. 44% of K through 12 teachers in the United States, and this is based off of public schools, 44% report that they experience burnout often. 55% plan on leaving their teaching profession earlier than what they intended to when they started their career because of the difficulties of relationships and what's expected of them or what's not happening, what they expected when they started. Since COVID, I did not get an exact date on this statistic, but I know that those numbers are climbing because of what's happening in our schools across the nation. So this talk is not really a talk saying what we need to do to fix problem A, and if it doesn't get fixed, we terminate the teacher. This talk today is about working with struggles, trying to keep our teachers, because you as a board, how many of you really like to go find new teachers every year? No. But we're bound to find some things that need to be worked through. So if we can do that and encourage and support the teachers that we got and give them what they need, it can go a long way in helping our school because continuity is good. We hire a lot of young teachers and put them in a schoolroom and expect them to have the wisdom of a parent. It's not going to work. And that's where you as a board, because these are your children, most of them, and so you have some expectations, and you know how your children work. Help give your teachers that wisdom as well. So they're stuck in this classroom. They realize they have insufficiencies. They have all their insecurities about taking care of your children. And then they're scared to express the need. They need help because, well, it's their children, so I should know what I'm doing because they're expecting me to do this. And the snowball gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And we can pretty quickly assume that, well, no news is good news. Don't do that. If you don't have weekly staff meetings, start it. Listen, ask questions. You can have a teacher that is good, but is struggling, and you won't even know it. Or you can have a teacher that's overconfident and just crashing right through and doesn't have the finesse to deal with parents the way they should, and everything is cut and dried in their mind. That's not going to work very well either. So you as a board, this is where you come in. You're supposed to fill in those gaps and work with your teachers and offer the guidance and support they need where it's needed. So, any thoughts up to this point? I said I'm not going to talk all the time. Anything based on what I've shared thus far? If not, let's go to some symptoms. Okay, and I want to spend the bulk of my time talking about solutions. And I didn't even look around. Not sure where, I don't see a clock, but I'll try to keep tabs on the clock here. I want to spend the most of my time on the solutions. But we need to talk about some of these things, these symptoms that we see, some of the causes for these struggles, what it can lead to, and then ultimately the solutions for it. I laid out some scenarios at the beginning of some teachers that were experiencing difficulties. And if you're not aware of what's happening in that teacher's life, you can totally miss those symptoms. I know a teacher that years ago had 18 first graders. She was stressed to the point that for lunch, if even she ate more than a half a sandwich, she was about ready to puke. She was stressed to the point she couldn't function properly. And we look at some of these teachers with their struggles and we wonder why. But let's just go over some things. In emotional struggles, you have a teacher that's experiencing exhaustion, anxiety, irritability. They tend to get overwhelmed with day-to-day activities, unorganized or underplanned. And you see these symptoms and you wonder what's happening. And I'm not sure how to break this down. I think we're going to kind of go across from the symptoms to the causes to what it can lead to. Academic struggles. You have a teacher with low level of confidence. Maybe she doesn't or he doesn't understand the curriculum. Cannot master the teaching skills needed to teach the curriculum. You see a lack of respect from students, or the teacher has the inability to control student behavior. Or there can be relational situations where you see a teacher that's withdrawing or isolating. They spend a lot of time at home or in their room, depending if they're boarding at a patron's house. In staff meeting, they might exemplify a cynical attitude or developing a cynical attitude toward their students. And a bad attitude about what they're doing and what's happening in their classroom. Starting to show signs of burnout. And like I said before, remember, you're not going to pick up on some of this stuff unless you have a relationship with your teachers. What's some of the causes for some of these struggles? Now, we can have different people, and every person in this room has a different way of dealing with stress. Dealing with workloads. Some of us need 8 hours of sleep. Some of us need 10 hours of sleep. Some of us need 3, 4. We all react differently. We all deal with things differently. So some of these struggles can really vary. But what's some of the causes for teacher struggles? Is the workload too heavy when you're looking at what's happening in your classroom? Too many students per teacher. can cause emotional struggles. Or you have students that have learning disabilities, take a lot of emotional support, special learning needs and different learning styles in a classroom. That can lead to an emotional drain on a teacher and cause for struggles that they can't quite cope with. Maybe it's academic. We talked about the low level of confidence. Is there a lack of training in the curriculum, in classroom structure? Maybe they're uncertain about what authority they have. Has the school board given them a clear, concise view of what authority as a teacher they have? Or maybe they don't understand the strategy of making their classroom, their teaching schedule work. And they're trying to do too much and it's overlapping, and they really should be cutting some things down and making it work. Or does the parents or the school board have unrealistic academic standards? Expectations are too high. Sometimes that can even be from the teacher themselves. I've had to tell more than one teacher that the students' grades do not always reflect you as a teacher. You can teach your heart out and do a really good job, and you might still have a student fail. Don't base your self-worth on what your students' grades are. And, you know, when you pour your heart and soul into something, that's a little hard to separate sometimes. And that's where you as a board can be helpful in helping keep them on a level plane. Relationship struggles, some of the causes for that. I mentioned that. Unrealistic expectations from the parents or the school board. Lack of communication from the school board and the parents, or, you know, one or the other, or maybe both. But the older I get, the more I realize that life is about relationships. And there is just so much to be improved upon, so much to be gained if we have good relationships. Some of the causes in relational struggles is the teacher themselves. Their past. What they've dealt with as a child. Maybe they struggled in school. Sometimes past experiences in life can give a teacher insight into a child and help them. But in turn, they have to work through some of those same things all over again because they're seeing it, their life played out in the life of their child. And we are experiencing some of that at school this year ourselves, and I'm at my school. Post-traumatic stress disorder is a real thing, and I'm not here to talk about that. I'll let Anthony talk about that. Relationship struggles, inability to communicate well, or the inability to connect on a personal level with students. You can have a really good teacher, but if they can't impart, I should say, you can have a really smart teacher, but if they cannot impart that knowledge to their students, it's not doing you any good. Can they connect? So there's relationship struggles between the students and the teacher. I mentioned this one before. A teacher can come in with high ideals, only to realize that these children are people too, and we got a problem, and we can't quite make it go around the way we thought we could before we started teaching. Or the workload's so heavy there's no time for personal life. And so you tend to start feeling, as a teacher, you feel resentment toward the board and the situation that they've placed you in. So that's some causes. So what can this lead to? And I feel like this topic is so huge, and there's so many different aspects of it. So I don't feel like I'm just brushing over the top of it. And I'm hoping you guys can just kind of take some of this stuff home and work with your teachers to make it adaptable to you. But it is very broad. What this can lead to: emotional struggles. Your teacher burns out. Halfway through the school year, they're done. And you got to find a teacher. life has lost its purpose. What I thought I wanted to do, I realize now I can't do. And so I want to quit. What are you going to do? They're overwhelmed. They're just surviving. They have lost all their enthusiasm and passion for teaching school. We're starting to hit bottom. And this happens. Or in the academic realm, the students are starting to show up, the report cards are starting to show there's a real problem here. Student performance is down, there's bad grades, there's bad attitudes in the classroom. On the relationship side, the relationships are strained more and more. Between the board, the parents, even co-teachers, students. And on the physical side, we've got ulcers or headaches, migraines, fatigue, can't sleep at night. Some of you have probably been there if you're school teachers in the past. The stresses of the classroom we tend to carry with us wherever we go. We take it home with us. We take it to bed with us. It just doesn't work. So, what's the solution? What are the solutions in these situations? And like I said before, the three things I gave you, time, a good relationship, and open communication. I'm hoping you have a good relationship and time to work with your school, but communication is very important. Communicate to your teachers, and we're going to talk about some of these things here that will benefit our teachers. Emotionally, do you value your teacher? We all like to feel wanted and accepted, cared for, loved. That's just human nature. And that translates into the school as well. Show that you care. Show that you value them as a person. You didn't just hire them and put them in the classroom and then ignore them. Be there for them. Communicate. Foster a supportive school culture where the teachers feel confident, open about expressing their needs or their problems. And that's why I mentioned, if you don't have a staff meeting, start one. And not just amongst the teachers. Bring the board in or your administrator. However you do it. I don't know how all your schools run, but have a good culture where they don't feel like it's that they're exposing their dirty laundry, so to speak, to say that, hey, we had a problem here in grade four or whatever, you know, what should we do? And talk it out. Make them feel comfortable expressing that they have a need and expressing the need for help. Along with that, the peer-to-peer support groups. I know I've sat in staff meetings already and as administrator, and I don't even have to say anything. The teacher can say, I'm having a problem here, and the one other teacher might say, well, I had that last year and this is what I did. Problem solved. I didn't have to say anything. But peer-to-peer groups are important. We as men like to know, I mean, we kind of enjoy when we get into other areas or other communities and we find out someone that does the same job we do. There's a connection there. Mechanics like to talk about cars. Truck drivers like to talk about trucks. There's a connection. And it's the same way with school teachers. And there's value in having you can have teacher work days or teacher training days or where schools can actually get back and forth, and you can have teachers just get together, just not necessarily to talk shop, so to speak, but just to interact with people of their same vocation. And I mentioned this one, communication. Encourage open communication. But you go first. Show them how communication is done. Tell me what's bothering you. You know, show them. Express yourself. Show your own vulnerabilities. Show your own fears at times. Be okay to be you. Just remember that. Be okay to be you. Don't put yourself here and them down here. You're working together for the good of the school. You're working together for the good of the church and the community. I said this before, implement regular check-ins. Don't assume that no news is good news. And that's a part of like the staff meetings. And if things are going tough and you're working through some of this stuff, help your teacher recognize when burnout is starting. If you see a teacher starting to struggle, take them aside. Hey, what's happening? What's going on? This is what I see in you. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you're being overworked, but you're so in the middle of it. I'm out here watching you. You're burning out. Help them understand what's happening. And start a plan to alleviate that burnout. Or help them understand how to manage it. If we have a good emotional state, we can handle a lot more struggles than what we can when we are emotionally drained. So try to keep them where they are feeling, like we talk about with trauma children, safe and secure. Your teachers want to feel that too. And you as a board can help establish that for them. Academically, some solutions for some of these academic struggles that we talked about. Did you give the teacher all the tools they needed to teach your curriculum? If they are lacking some skills and you've noticed it, I mean, if you read your Bible, Apollos was teaching the Word of God, but it wasn't the right way or the whole way. And Aquila and Priscilla pulled him aside and said, hey, this is what you're lacking. They didn't tell him he's totally wrong. They encouraged him. They helped him. And he was a better teacher for it. If you really stop and think about it, he was a teacher. So equip your teachers with skills to better respond to the students' needs. And if you're seeing it and they're not, that's your responsibility to step in and help out. Give them a chance. Give them the ability to attend teacher workshops, training sessions, summer classes. At our school, we tell our teachers that we will pay for a class, or you know, whether it's Faith Builders or whatever, we will every summer we'll foot the bill for at least one training session as a school. And they can avail themselves to that if they wish. But encourage that. If you're helping your teacher get better, they're more likely to want to come back. And if they feel more confident, your students will reap the benefits, and you as a board will definitely reap the benefits of not having to search for another teacher and start all over again. If it's classroom management, get help. There's training for that too. I remember one teacher, they were just running out of time. They couldn't get everything done in a day's time. And like, what can we drop? Well, they really didn't want to drop anything, but they were having oral reading over here, but they were having to do oral reading for their history as well because of some students not understanding it unless they heard it orally. And so I said, well, how about we just drop oral reading. You're doing oral reading with history. Make that your oral reading. Okay? There's sometimes it takes you as a third party to look at some of these things. And can we help in the classroom management and give them, there again, skills to respond to some of the things that they face. In her mind, she needed to have oral reading and she needed to have history. But can we combine them and make it work? If there's bad attitudes from the students in academics, because of academics, and it's not working out well, sometimes we have to step in and work along with the teacher and the student, help them understand what's expected of them and basically what's expected of the student in responding to the teacher, and encourage the teacher to have positive interactions between them and their students. And sometimes we have to encourage our students to, or our teachers to, learn to listen to their students better as well, just like we need to learn to listen to our teachers. And here's one that's definitely very important. You as a board need to clarify to the teacher what your expectations are of them. You know, we can say we hired you to teach fourth grade. All goes along with that, teaching fourth grade. Don't assume that the teacher's going to understand what you just expect them to know. That might be fine if they grew up in your community, but what if they were taught a different school and they had a different way of doing things? Clarify what your expectations are of them. Don't assume they're going to automatically know. And in the relational solutions part, this one can get really, really sticky at times, and it can affect the other two, emotional and academic, if our relationships aren't what they should be. But here again, communication is important. And set up, if there is problems in communication, make sure you as a board set up ways to have effective communication between teacher, board, and parents. And Linford talked about that out there this morning. You as a board, if the parent calls you and wants to complain about the teacher, encourage them to talk to the teacher first and take the proper steps, like is laid out in Matthew 18. But then you as a board make sure that the problem doesn't just, you don't just ignore it, you continue to work with it. But have effective communication. Respect your teachers. I mentioned before about taking the lead in showing them how to communicate. Here again, take the lead in having a good relationship with your teachers. Most of them will reciprocate that back to you. If they're treated like chattel, you cannot expect much respect from them as a teacher to you as a board. But have a healthy respect. They're a person. They have their goals in life too. They have their aims, their desires, their ideals, just like you do. And let's remember that. Help them prioritize a healthy work and personal life balance. Some of us board members, we don't do very good at that ourselves. So sometimes we have to look at where we're at. You know, is my work and personal life balance skewed to the point I'm not able to give my teachers what they need? Maybe I need to work on that first. And is my priorities right as an administrator or school board member? But there again, help them understand what's healthy as far as what they can and can't do. Most teachers do like to be busy, but sometimes it's too much. And sometimes they don't quite always see that. Or we give them too much administrative work. I know in smaller schools, sometimes it's tough because, well, we can't afford to hire too many teachers, and so we expect a teacher to teach third through sixth. It's only six students. It's still a lot of work. It's a lot of work because of the varying degrees of what those students are faced with, how they learn, and the different levels of academics that they're going through. And sometimes you as a board might not want to hire another teacher, but it's in your best interest to do that. There's times we have to lessen the workload. There's just no way around it. And some of these problems can be real problems because we don't want to see them as that. We've always had four teachers. There's no reason. We only have four rooms. We don't want to hire a fifth teacher. I'm just using those numbers as examples. But there's times we have to, just to keep everything working at a smooth level. Help build confidence in your teachers. Do you like to feel inadequate? None of us like to go to a job and always feel inadequate at what we do. We like to feel like we're on top of our game. Your teacher's going to want to feel that way too. And so if they feel the support from you as a board with a good, healthy relationship, that helps build confidence. They know what's expected of them. They know what's going to happen. They know where the board's at in this situation. And it will help inspire them to continue on. Be transparent. Now granted, you're not going to tell your teachers everything that you discuss as a board. But if they see you as a person that they can trust, that they feel confidence in, that leads to a better relationship between you as a board and them as a teacher. So if you build that trust, then make sure you don't violate that trust. That's very important. I mean, we talk about that with children. We try to teach them or help them to trust us, and then we don't want to violate that trust. That's the same way here as a teacher. Make sure that you continue on with that in mind. What are some, is there any, I feel like I've maybe talked too much here. Anything you all want to share? And whether it's on the symptoms, causes, what it can lead to, or solutions. Go ahead.
You mentioned that there's some training for classroom management. Are some specific recommendations you have on that?
I can't say I have any right off the top of my head as far as like where they could go to do that. I know Faith Builders offers like different classes like in their summer schools and things like that that would address some of those situations. I don't know if it's always the same every year. I did not research that. But even courses like online courses or something where they could actually look and see how, and there again, it's not just on that. Sometimes it's peer-to-peer. If you have an older teacher in your community or one that, you know, has done it for a number of years, maybe bring them alongside. Are you willing to work with this person and help learn some better management skills to help equip them to handle it better? Like I said, some of these situations can really vary person to person, school to school. Some of your bigger schools, they have resource rooms, they have teachers, tutors, all sitting there, you know, ready. Some of us smaller schools, we have to wear a couple hats every day. And it can be some stress and strain. So, yeah, communities, you know, if you have older people in your communities that taught school earlier in their lives and they have time, and they want to come and help part-time, involve them. The school needs to be a community project because we as a church draw from that school for the future of our church. So involve everyone. It's important. Anyone else?
Would you recommend having dedicated, not exactly performance reviews, but dedicated times with each teacher, regardless of whether you feel that there's that they're struggling with something. Just because if you have a, if you have 10 teachers and 5 board members, and the first 5 teachers said, you know, great report, everything's going great, that 6th teacher is not going to want to share a struggle. So do you recommend having one-on-one meetings 3 times a year with every teacher, just to give opportunity to share a difficulty or something that there might be, just so that you don't have this thing building? Or would you say that if I'm asking the question, that I don't have a good enough relationship with each of the teachers to already know that?
Right. And some of that is how your school is set up. I mean, I agree. You should not, a teacher, not probably, if everybody's doing fine, one teacher's not going to express a problem. But if you start out the school year and everybody knows that this point of the school year, you're going to have a meeting with the board or the administrator or whatever, and it's just accepted, don't start handing out questionnaires just because you think there's a problem. Be preemptive. Don't, because if they're like, oh, why'd we get this? We never had this before. Well, there must be a problem, you know. So try to be involved. And then there again, like I said, if you have that good relationship and you've taken the time for it, a lot of times you can pick up on that with not even waiting for the questionnaire to come back.
Yeah. Is there any thoughts on, you know, a teacher who may be facing personal things in his personal life that end up affecting his performance in the classroom? I don't know, maybe in a broad perspective. I know there's different situations. How can the board be of help in that situation? You know, I know you don't want it to be a long-term thing, obviously.
What's your thoughts? What should the board do with a teacher that's experiencing personal problems?
In my experience, it depends on the level, the degree, and the time frame, but there's a time when personal problems interfere with the ability to do the job effectively.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's, like I said, this subject is so broad, and there is so many different avenues and ways to look at this. I guess one of my first thoughts would be, and you mentioned it, sometimes it involves his inability to be able to teach, but, you know, what type of personal struggles are we having? Is it going to create an unsafe atmosphere for the rest of the students, for the rest of the school? Or are we going to be creating a problem where this situation can become explosive, and we're doing, you know, maybe there's some times for, like I said, this talk is not really looking at termination, but there, I feel there is times that has to happen for the good of everybody, for the good of the teacher himself. But it is important that we try to work with the redemptive view in mind. But that doesn't mean we put other people in harm's way while we do that. Go ahead.
Can I just share some ideas? When I was teaching, there were some things that didn't happen that would have really helped me through some of the struggles I had. And our school is doing this, we've just pretty much done little by little, added these things as the years went on, because they made such a difference. Our parents will take turns that teachers from another area who come live there will get at least one meal in someone's home per week, plus a meal brought to them one night. It just takes a little bit of, you know, you get into their home, mm-hmm. into the home, and talk in a comfortable way. It's not that teacher conference feeling, you know. And then we have mentoring, like each teacher has a mentor that they can go to, you know, about something they're struggling with. And then every other week, we have twice a month, so every 2 weeks, there's hot lunch for the whole school. It's just a fun, you know, just brings that fun feeling into the school at least twice a month. Our head teacher always has a teacher meeting right after school, but it doesn't seem to be anything stressful. I've seen it going for years. hanging out, you know, maybe on the bench outside, talking, hashing the day over, and they feel free to share anything. My son taught for 2 years, and so I kind of got a little window into how awesome that was. And then they would usually pay for their attendance at some kind of training, like you mentioned. So I just love all the ideas you were giving. It really makes a difference in the feeling for the teacher. I think I would have had so much less stress with that when I was teaching.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really talk a lot about some of the practical things that the community can do, but we also, especially for teachers that don't live in our area, they get into to homes for suppers. I draw up a schedule throughout the whole year, so somebody is always, they know when it's their turn or when it's their time to go to that home. And one teacher told me, when I asked him, I said, you know, what would you say is, would you value that in this, for this talk or struggle? He said, treat me like a normal person outside the classroom. Let them be themselves. You know, they want to be a part of the youth group. They want to go snowboarding with the guys. They want to do this, they want to do that. Let them do it. We tend to look at them and say, well, you're the teacher. You have to be here. Well, you know, what they say, the ministry lives in glass houses. We kind of look at our teachers the same way sometimes. And we create a situation where the expectations are hard to live up to. They're going to make some mistakes. And that's why I mentioned before, don't make snap judgments. If there is a problem, go talk to them. Talk to them privately. Take them out for coffee. But yes, interaction with them as people. Develop friendships outside of the classroom. That's important. Go ahead.
So, what is my responsibility as a board? So we have a larger school, and our principal is kind of more like the manager of the school, where the teachers would go to him for if there's any problems or issues. And I want to be careful I don't step over him, and that he won't feel good about what he's doing. So, you know, every year we have a time where the board meets individually with each teacher just to hear any concerns or any input from them. But for the most part, he's kind of the go-to guy, the principal. So what's my responsibility as throughout the year, if you did hear something or you sense to act?
Because, I mean, his question is, as your board chairman, right?
Right.
As board chairman, he's seeing things that possibly are not right in the classroom or with the teacher, but they have a administrator set up for that. What's his role as a chairman? That's tough. Go ahead.
Isn't it true that if the board oversees a school and any one staff member is not fulfilling their role as set forth by the board, it would be the board's responsibility to help that person? So if this, in this case, it's the administrator, perhaps the administrator doesn't know how to help these teachers and, and needs some development and staff development skills and strategies.
Go ahead.
This is bringing it to the level of your topic is how to help a struggling teacher. What's your suggestion is how to help a struggling administrator to help a struggling teacher? It's back another level. You're going to have to, if you see something happening that's not being dealt with, you're going to have to talk to your administrator, and he might need help. But you don't want to just bypass him. You want to let him know that we see this, and are you able to deal with it? If not, what can we do about that? And I think in the case of individual issues, I think determining what kind of issue it is, whether it's how to teach the academics, whether it's relational, there's different. I think a board could find a person to work with that teacher maybe it's a grandma, maybe it's a previous teacher who's a mom now who's not teaching, but seek out somebody to be a mentor to that person. And depending on what the teacher's need is, it could be an entirely different type of person to mesh with that, because mm-hmm. the need to know how to teach the academics is quite different from how to relate to people. But find somebody out there and get those two people to work together.
Yeah. And that's why I mentioned every situation is so different, and we need to approach situations different based on the needs. I think you had something you wanted.
It was very much down the same line. You had all these, a lot of very good pointers here on how to reach out to the teachers, and I'm kind of the lowest man on the board, I guess. I'm the maintenance man, and I was just wondering, in an ideal scenario, does the board work together on all these points, or I just kind of let the chairman feel the responsibility for the teachers' emotional welfare, or their relational academics?
The board needs to be unified, and I stress that when a decision's made, it's a board decision, and we all need to be on board with it. But some of these times, some of these things that you have a problem with, or the teacher has a problem, and you're discussing it at a board meeting, that doesn't mean the whole board's going to go talk to that teacher. You might pick somebody. Hey, you have a good relationship with them. Why don't you take them out for breakfast Saturday morning and have a chat with them? Some of that kind of thing. The communication is so important, and how it's you can communicate with a sledgehammer, or you can communicate in love. And what's going to give us the best result? You know, we have people that are good at it's cut and dried, and this is the only way to see it. Then there's other people that say, well, you know, that's true, but can we come around from this angle? Because we want to help them. We don't want to chase them away. It can be challenging. We're running, getting down here to our wire. Some of this stuff we might just have to talk about later tonight. But in conclusion, struggles will come. That's a fact. Anywhere you have people, you have problems, right? We're living a fallen world. How are we going to deal with them? Do you, as a school board or your community, understand the value of your school as an aid in rearing the next generation of Christians to carry on the work of the church? You know, how we value our school, how we value education goes a long way in how we're going to deal with what struggles we have. Is the role of the school teacher important to you? Don't be overly critical. And like I said before, sometimes it's the little things that make the biggest difference. That cup of coffee. Stop in on your way past the school. You know the teachers are just wrapping it up. Drop off the iced coffees. Say, hey, I hope you had a good day. That means a lot to them. That you stopped, you cared, you showed up. Show them how you live and the way you talk, that you value them as a person. Be willing to get involved with them. I think that was the bell. So God bless you. If there is questions, or if you want to talk about this some more tonight, I think there will be a round table on this. Not saying again, I don't have all the answers, but be willing to listen, take time to communicate, and develop relationships with your teachers. And if you do that, you know, we talk about marriage. We can have a oneness. We have to understand our partner and how they work. There's a little bit of that in the school as well. Understand your teachers, and it'll go a long way in having a better school year. God bless you.